WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM on your dial, and also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. WAIF, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airways to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect those of WAIF, its board of trustees, staff, or programmers. The opinions expressed on this program are my own views or those of my guest. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today for our weekly show called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, right here on 88.3 FM every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. We focus here on practical tools to live happier and healthier lives, to feel better in body, mind, and in spirit, and to begin living from our highest selves, from the God spark that lives inside each of us, because that's what changes our lives for the better. Our passion here is personal growth and spiritual evolution, on exploring spirituality without talking about religion, and sharing the countless ways to reclaim our God-given power to heal ourselves and our world, to grow in the ways that we want to help one another live a better life. We know that we are divinely created beings, blessed with free will, and that we can consciously choose to become healthier and happier through the power of that divinity that lives within us. Each week, we share simple, practical ways to do that. Often, all that's really required is to discover and then release the internal, often subconscious, thoughts and feelings that have blocked our connection with the divine source of all life. I call the source of life God, or Great Spirit, or Universal Energy. It doesn't matter really what you call it, but it really does matter that you call on it. So we hope that you and all of your friends join us here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern to learn how you can discover your own inner divinity and begin living the life you've always wanted to live. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am a spiritual life coach with decades of counseling experience, and my passion is sharing what I've learned about healing pain, about living a happier and more peaceful life, about feeling connected with the divine power that lives inside each and every one of us, and how God can and does heal pain and suffering. My co-host is Pat Meyer, a life coach with many years of clinical experience, who is also a survivor and knows firsthand how faith in the divine source of life itself can heal all of our woundedness. Each week on Inner Divinity, we focus on what works, on what helps, on what really matters. Our intention here is to provide you with the tools and the inspiration to begin experiencing wholeness in mind, in body, and in spirit. Through much experience, Pat and I know that divine spirit is alive in each and every one of us. We know that because without it, we wouldn't be breathing. When spirit leaves the body, it dies. Until then, we have that God spark, that source of life itself, and all the loving power it holds, living right inside of us. And through willingness and faith, we have the choice and the power to rise up out of depression, addiction, victimhood, or any other suffering that we may have been experiencing. We know this because we've both done it, and we've watched countless others do it as well. So we hope you join us here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on 88.3 FM, or online at WAIF883.org, as we tap into the power, the beauty, and the divine love that lives within and all around us. There's never really anything we need to get or gain in order to experience wholeness. There's only stuff to let go of that has blocked our awareness of already having that God spark, that source energy, that divine unconditional love right inside of us. That divine power is ours to use for all things good, but only when we claim it with humility and with thankfulness. We want to thank you so much for listening. There's also a Facebook page for this show called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and we'd love to hear from you on Facebook. And feel free to contact me through my websites, which is just my name, louisadyer.com or louisadyer.net. And every week we begin the show with a little music to help uplift our spirits, to bring body and mind into a better harmony, and to let the body move if it really wants to. Because when the body's moving with music, it begins to feel more strongly the divine spirit which animates the body. So we'll be back in a few minutes and hope you stick around for today's exploration of how to live a happier, healthier, more spiritually connected life. Here's some music to get us moving on that divine journey. Enjoy. Woo!
recent co-host, joining Reverend Louisa Dyer, a metaphysical minister and life coach. Thanks for joining us here for Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, tapping into the source of life that lives inside each of us, whatever you call that, because that's where power, beauty, and unconditional love all come from. Life itself, because we can and it feels really good. And it makes us healthier in body, mind, and spirit. Welcome that connection with that divinity within yourself and wake up. So today I will be talking about the use of spiritual practices in one's daily life. I call it contemplative practices a lot. Basically it's the same. So Louisa, Reverend Louisa Barrett is here, and so she may join us in this conversation as soon as I turn her mic on for her.
Thank you.
Love that.
All right.
So today I wanted to talk about some practical tools to talk about integrating our inner and outer selves. And the question that came up for me is, really, what does each of us really mean by spirituality? And how are we using that word? How do we integrate our inner and outer lives? And I wanted to talk about that today because over the years, I have personally integrated spiritual practices into my daily life. And I've had such a great results from that I wanted to share a little bit about that.
Great.
Yeah, I am someone who has been a meditator for 28 years. And I started doing spiritual practices in New York City in 1985. And I actually met a guru, Guru Mahesh Chikrasananda, in 1985. And I didn't ask for it, it just happened. And from that point on, I really pretty heavily became involved on a spiritual path. Having been someone who, as a young child, had always believed in God, and that's my higher power is God, and wanted to be able to talk to God as a young child. And having met Guru Mai, and I think people here in the West may not really understand what a guru is and the purpose of a guru. I certainly didn't. It just pretty much happened for me when I met this person after some friends invited me to go to a program in mid-Manhattan at the Manhattan Center. I walked in the room and up front was Guru Mai, and I felt my heart open. It just burst open and I began swaying, and I had that feeling of I was meant to meet this person, and this is, you know, this perfect destiny for me. It was just that perfect moment when you know that you are meant to be there.
So you really felt that heart opening, which is what really the guru is supposed to be all about.
It's all about. She's a mirror. And she emulates, she, sometimes it's a he, but in this case it was a she, emulated really enlightenment. You know, she really was very much in communion with God.
Mm-hmm.
Her energy was extremely, you could feel it. It was very powerful.
I met Guru Maya in the late 80s in San Francisco.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
In Oakland?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oakland Ashram.
Uh-huh.
So, and just vicariously going into this path, where I knew it was right for me, and I began to do a lot of spiritual practices with the support of Guru Mai, as well as Marisol Ashram in Manhattan and on the Upper West Side, and really there's ashrams all over the world, and centers all over the world. And I would go to different programs during the week in Manhattan, where we would meditate and chant, spiritual journey. At one point, I lived in the ashram and would go to work every day, and I would do my seva in the ashram, which is called selfless service, which means selfless service. And I would get up very early to meditate and to chant, and then I would go to work on the subway, and I would do walking meditation. And to learn how to do spiritual practices in New York City is quite, quite a feat because of all the distractions.
Mm-hmm.
But I became very centered by repeating what is called a mantra, which is really just, for me, it was on the Marsha Bala, and by repeating that mantra, and some people could actually just use a word if they want. It could be peace or some quality of virtue that they want to emulate. For me, it was on the Marsha Bala, meaning that inner divinity was within me, that I am that, and the higher self with a proper rest. And I vacuum myself. So I would be on the subway with my beads, and I would be saying my mantra to myself, and no one even knew I was doing it. So it was really quite a practice. And by doing that, I became very centered. I became more present to people in my life. I became calm. Life became magical. That's really the best word to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of life is magical.
Mm-hmm.
And that was by doing a daily practice twice a day, in the morning and in the evening.
Could you talk to people, maybe something really simple in terms of what they're doing and how much time they're spending that could actually make a difference?
Absolutely. And I just want to mention before I go into that that I saw that the New York Times had an article today that Beth Israel Hospital in New York City is actually, there's doctors who are prescribing meditation now.
That's so cool.
And I just find that amazing. I think it's just wonderful that meditation is becoming mainstream now.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was doing this 28 years ago, people thought I was weird. Or some of the things I was doing was not something people would necessarily do in mainstream life. So to develop a practice, and many people asked about that, I personally think it helps to be a part of a group at first or to have someone helping you guide you. That's if you can do that. And that could be in the form of a CD. You could go in person to do a group. There are places that are popping up now, I've noticed. But it's just helpful to have a teacher to kind of guide you. Because oftentimes when we meditate, we question whether we're doing it right. And so we don't necessarily want that. So really, 15 minutes a day is enough.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing about meditation is to do it on a daily basis. So remembering that it's a practice, just like learning to play the piano, you need to practice every day to get good at it. So to meditate, ideally it would be great to do it longer, but 15 minutes a day will definitely work.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And if you can do it for 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes at night, even if it's just in the morning, that would be great. To create that quiet space for yourself. Which brings me to another practice, which would be ritual. Creating a sacred space for yourself. And it could be in the form of just a corner of a room, where you have a table and you have objects that were meaningful to you, that really helps you to go within. It could be a flower. It could be, so you could have a vase. It could be a photograph of nature. Could be different crystals. Maybe it could be loved ones, photographs of loved ones.
Mm-hmm. Or a candle.
Oh, and definitely a candle. Thank you. Yeah. you can create that sacred space in your home. And for some people, for meditation, sitting in a chair works best for them. And you just want to make sure that you have your feet on the ground, rooted on the ground, and your back, maybe put a pillow up on the chair so that you're propped up and your back is straight, because that's important to keep your spine as straight as possible. And doing a relaxation always helps. I do that often with clients. I'll have them do a relaxation exercise just to relax parts of the body. Very simple in doing it where you're sitting. You don't have to do yoga or anything like that, although some people do. Mm-hmm. So that's an important practice that everyone can do. Okay? Another practice is a walking meditation where you could, I know for myself, I walk in Sharon Woods sometimes. It's a 2-mile walk in the woods, and that where you have a kinesthetic movement, and it pulls you out of your head and down into your heart. So that's a great way to clear your mind. And for some people, a physical type contemplative practice or meditation is the most important, because they need that movement.
Well, and I think for a lot of people that live in their heads a lot, that doing a walking meditation is a way to really get in your body.
Absolutely. Thank you. From the head to the heart.
Yeah.
And getting into the body is so important, because if any of us have had any trauma in our past, or any, even just because of our stressful society, and some of us are more highly sensitive than others, that it doesn't have to have been a major trauma, but because life is very stressful, we kind of disassociate a little bit sometimes, and we're not very connected to our bodies. And so that is very important for spiritual practices as well, to remember to become more aware of your body, mm-hmm. and where you're feeling things in your body. I'm going to be giving a talk next week in LA, and we're including, because some of it's, you know, a little bit more difficult subject matter I'm talking about, we're going to be doing a movement exercise afterwards to really connect with what is your body telling you. Mm-hmm. And so that is very important, regardless of what spiritual practice you do.
You know, in my graduate work, in my graduate program, I actually focused on body-oriented psychotherapies, because it became evident so quickly that emotions live in the body. And if we're having emotional issues, or if we're having physical issues, we can often get to the root of the spiritual problem behind that by accessing the body and letting the body guide us. So I really want to second what you're saying, that in my experience, there are a lot of people who think that they're spiritual, or think that they're present, when all they're really doing is having a fantasy in their mind. And I think it's really, really important to literally get present in your body, feel yourself in your body, in the room, in your surroundings, and be in your heart, in your body, instead of just a fantasy in your mind. And I think that's what you're talking about, is meditation will teach you how to do that, and especially a walking meditation, what happens to be one of my favorites.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it helps you, because we have, they say, 50 or 60,000 thoughts a day. And so clearly, if we are attaching ourselves to those thoughts, well, we could have a really, really bad day. That's kind of how I put it. And so with meditation or any type of contemplative practice, we can learn to just become the observer of our thoughts, so that our thoughts, because thoughts aren't real, thoughts are just fantasy. And so as you become more grounded in doing practices, you become more heart-centered as well. And so for myself, I became a lot closer to God, which is who I had been searching for.
Mm-hmm.
And
But bringing it down to a really, really helping me to bring my spirituality down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
Getting in touch with that light that lives within myself. That light that is life itself, that I am a part of it all. It's all one and the same, really. So I just wanted to read something, a paragraph that Gurmai had given a talk. It's from a talk of hers called "The Light of the Self is Life." In everyone's life, there is something much higher than what is seen and heard. There is something more beautiful that exists within the body, and it is this conscious light, the auspicious lamp of the self, that makes everything more beautiful, greater, and higher. The lamp of the self is auspicious because its light has given life, love, purpose, and inspiration to life. So many times one is fed up with one's existence, then all of a sudden there's a glimpse, there's a revelation. Something takes place inside and one feels, all right, I can live. I can go on with life once again. It is this light of the self that makes both existing and non-existing worlds bearable. Mm. With this auspicious light, there is no life. This light itself is light.
That's beautiful.
We all have that light within ourselves.
Yep, we do.
And we really, truly do have the ability with practice and with nurturing to connect with that light. We really, really do.
Yep.
And to illuminate our way.
And you and I are living proof.
I've been to hell and back, and I think that might have been one of your quotes.
Uh-huh. I like to say heaven and hell. I've been to heaven and hell and back again so many times.
You know, I think someone asked me once, I said, so do you believe in hell? And I said, yeah, I've been there. I think we have to wait for that. But really, what I've learned is it's really in how we dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have the opportunity, because life can be difficult. And that's why going within and integrating our inner lives with our outer lives is so important.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy that people, that there's such a higher consciousness now in our society, that people just are talking about connecting with their inner selves.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a great time to be alive.
It is. It's just beautiful. So we're going to just take a music break, and I have a chant by David Kamal from her Embrace CD, Om Namah Bhagavate, and I'm going to share that with you. So enjoy. Welcome back. You're listening to Wave Cincinnati, listener-supported radio station, 88.3 FM, wave883.org. Thank you for listening. My name is Pat Meyer. I'm co-host to Inner Divinity, and today we are talking about spiritual practices and how to integrate them into everyday life.
So sorry, but we seem to have had a technical snafu here, and the rest of this CD is not recorded for some reason. I apologize for the abrupt ending. This is Reverend Louisa Dyer, and hopefully we will see you back here next week from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on 88.3 FM in Cincinnati and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. Have a great week.